Praise the Lord. What did the Lord do for you good this week, Cliff?
Well, I'm still alive. That's what
Amen.
I'm doing. I'm not shooting at anybody, and they're not shooting at me, so that's not a bad deal.
Amen.
Now, this is a testimony of the Holy Spirit making me be ready to be a service to somebody. Amen. And it was an awesome deal. About a year ago, we had was going to have a new roof put on our house, and this guy showed up, and I'm not going to go through all the episodes and et cetera of what happened, but he eventually, let me tell you what's really interesting. I noticed in his eyes when I first saw him that he was missing something. Nice-looking young man. And so I got to talking to him, and he was living with his girlfriend, not three blocks from our house. And I kept on talking to him, and I said, you know, you're not doing the right thing. First time I ever met him. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you're living with a gal that maybe you're going to marry. And he said, well, I've done that five or six times before this, and since I've been married before. And I said, let me tell you what I think you should do. I said, the Bible tells us this, and it's all taught all through the Bible. And I said, if you want to have a happy marriage to that lady one day, you're going to have to move out. And he did. They've been married now for just a little over a month. And I met her today for the first time. I was walking into my Sunday school class at the First Baptist Church there in Irving. And here was this guy walking right up behind me. And I turned around and looked, and there was Kevin. And he looked at me and he says, Cliff, he says, I just want to thank you. He said, I want to introduce you to my wife. I had never seen her before. One of the most beautiful women I believe I've ever seen in my entire life. And she and Kevin looked at her and said, this is the guy. And she looked at him and says, you're the guy that saved our lives. And she come up there and gave me the biggest hug. But the important factor is that we need to be ready as born-again Christians. We need to be ready to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do.
Amen. Amen.
I've got several stories that's similar to that. But the point is, just there's young people out there that's sinning. And it's in their eyes. And we're born again Christians. And we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to do the right thing. I'm not into do's and don'ts yet.
Amen.
But the point is, if we're born-again Christians, we should do the right thing. Also, we should know what the right thing to do is.
Amen.
See, there's a difference. So this is a real praise report. And not only that, see, and mine started out early this morning. I got a telephone call at 5:30 this morning from a guy that I'd helped mentor through the judicial treatment centers. And he has having a problem with one of his guys. And he calls it, Cliff, you're the only one that's available right now. I said, what should I do? So we had a good conversation. He said, that's what I'll do. And so he was helping somebody else, see.
Amen.
That's what being a born-again Christian is all about.
Amen.
Is helping somebody else and taking care of yourself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Great testimony, Cliff. Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to know I'm glad that that person didn't call me at 5:30 this morning because I hadn't been in bed but an hour at 5:30. So I had a pretty busy night last night, and at 5:30 this morning, I was definitely not ready to get up, I will say. In fact, I set my alarm for 9, and I stayed in bed till 11. You know, I mean, I just turned it off and said, no, I said, I better not turn it off. I said, since it's been so early this morning when I got in bed, I better set it again because I might sleep right on through church. And so I set it for 11, and sure enough, when it went off, I was sleeping sound. So I don't know what it is. From 5 till 9 is not very long. You know, so, I don't know. Of course, I sure am glad I'm young. Boy, if I was old, I couldn't handle them kind of things. I'm glad the Lord renews my youth like the eagles so I can handle these wonderful things. But praise God, praise God, praise God. We're going to start out in the book of Luke, chapter 1 this morning. And then we're going to go several places. You know, we see In this Luke 1, starting with verse 26, we see something here that is so awesome. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that's our teacher. I want to thank you, Lord, for being our King and our Lord and our God. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching us your Word and revealing to us who you are, and I ask you to do a great and mighty work here today in the name of Jesus. Now, Satan, I rebuke you and command you to take all your evil spirits out of this place and not steal a single word out of anybody's mind or heart that comes here today. And, Lord, I ask you to lock the Word of God into our hearts and our minds so we will not sin against you, so we'll walk holy and purify ourselves from all uncleanness in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, here's a little lady we're going to read about here in Luke, starting in verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, that thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When you read that verse right there and you think about this woman, she was highly favored of the Lord. You notice she was a virgin. She wasn't like the man that Cliff was telling us about that had lived with several women, you know, he and had been married also. But thank God for the cross and for Jesus and what he was going to do to come, because if he hadn't of that man that Cliff told us about this morning, along with all the women he had slept with, technically speaking, the very first one that he slept with out of wedlock, according to the law, they should have both been stoned until dead. So there wouldn't have been any second event. But this little woman didn't go there. This little woman had kept herself clean and pure before the king. Every young woman should do this. It's really difficult today in the world we live in for young women and young men to walk here because of this media that we have called television, that what they see, they think it's okay to live in these sexual worlds, but it's not okay. It's not God's plan. But this little girl, she was highly favored of the Lord. And when, verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Well, now let me tell you, I want to be one of those that finds favor with God. You know, I don't want to be one of those that he don't find favor with. I want to be one of those that he finds favor with. Because this little girl got a blessing beyond our wildest imaginations. And it says, And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What a privilege to be the woman that would find favor in God's eyes to bring forth a child. Now, I'm going to tell you that I've told people this before. Some people believe it, some don't. But I believe it. I believe in my heart that when God placed that baby, that seed in her womb, and she brought forth this man child that came from God, but yet it was her child, it was born inside of an earthly woman, so that when Jesus was born, came out of her womb, he became the first man that had come from God that had absolutely no sin, and he was going to be our God. Now, I'm going to tell you, when she had that baby, she'd already been espoused to a man as a virgin, and she had never known a man. Now, I'm going to tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that when God got through delivering his own son through her womb, when he put her back together, he put her back as a virgin. She had never known a man. And when Joseph and her went to bed the first time, I'm going to guarantee you Mary was still a virgin. You know, she was a virgin. God would never do something like that to a man. He told the men back in those days to marry only a virgin. One virgin, one man forever. And that's what he said. So I'm going to tell you, he made Mary a virgin again. So the first time that Joseph and Mary went to bed together after they got married, I'm going to tell you, she was a virgin. You know, she was as perfect as any woman could ever have been. And I'm going to tell you, that's what God did for them. Now then, let's go to Matthew 16:19 to start off here. After this, we see that this baby is going to be conceived. Matthew 16:19. And the thing about it is, yeah, Jesus came as a baby, but he's not a baby anymore. You know, he's not a baby anymore. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. You know, he's the resurrected Christ. You know, yeah, don't let your children and the people around you see Jesus as the little baby in the manger. I mean, he came as a babe in the manger, but he ain't there no more. That was a one-time event, and he grew up. And he grew up to become a man. And today, that mighty Spirit of the living God is living in us, and he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And everything has been done. He had to come, and had to come as a man, and had to be tried and tested and tempted in all ways as we are, yet with no sin. And then these are some of the things he done for us. In Matthew chapter 16, he says here in Matthew 16:19, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, the average Christian never understands what these things mean. They read them, but they don't ever get into the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit, which is supposed to be in you, can reveal to you the power that God has given to you in you. He's given you power. Amen. I mean, awesome power. If you will seek him and his kingdom first, this little baby that we see, I mean, I think about the stores and the places and the things I've been and the scenes I've seen in front of people's houses and everything else and the lights that are out and everything. So few people do anything to let you know that Jesus is alive. It's almost nothing. I mean, you can go into a store and listen to music, and it's nearly all secular music. There will be nothing that will be bringing glory to our King. They've taken him out of everything. They don't want to offend somebody. Well, let me tell you, Jesus offended a lot of people when he came to this earth. And if you're a Christian, you walk in obedience to his word, you're going to offend a lot of people. In fact, I remember one time when I was still working as an engineer for a corporation right here in the area, one morning I heard the HR lady, the head HR lady, say, "Thurman Scrivener, would you please come to Charles Ashcraft's office?" I thought, uh-oh, head HR, and he's a director. I wonder what I done wrong now. So I thought, well, I'll run by the cafeteria and get me a cup of tea because I'm probably going to be there a little while. So I went by and got me a cup of hot tea, and I walked into their office, and they was both there. When your director and the HR director is there, you know you've done something wrong. So I walked in and I said, "How can I help you all today?" And she said, "Well, Thurman, we've had a complaint against you in the cafeteria." I said, "Okay, what is it?" She said, "There, of course, we got people from all, you know, 1,000 people worked there. So we had people from all over the world working in that place. Every kind of language known was there. Every kind of religion known was in that place. But I walked into that place in the name of Jesus. And according to that scripture right there I just read, the King said he gave me the keys of the kingdom." Amen. He didn't give the keys to somebody else. He gave them to me. All right. So when I walked into that place had more foul language than any place I'd ever walked in my life. The first day I walked through that place And they introduced me to different people. As a manager there, I had never heard so much foul profanity and women and men using so many bad words that in my life. I didn't say nothing to nobody. But the next morning, I had something to say to the devil when I went to the throne of grace. I had something to tell him. I said, "Devil, I'm taking over LSG Skyship in the name of Jesus. I'm in, you're out. I've been given the keys of the kingdom. Now from this day forth, you will shut your mouth and there will be no more profanity spoken in my presence. Do you hear me? I have authority over you in the name of Jesus. You ain't going to do this no more." And I worked out there 7 years and I never heard but one word of profanity after that. One word. I'm telling you, people stopped talking. People couldn't understand. You know, when they go to the cafeteria, I walk into the cafeteria and I'd stand up at a table with a bunch of men, 70 or 80 people in that cafeteria, and I'd pray over our meal in the name of Jesus. You know? I mean, who gave me the keys to what? The king gave me the keys to the kingdom. Now then, what am I going to do with those keys? Throw them in the trash? No, I'm going to use them. I'm going to open all these doors. I mean, that's what he came for. That's what he came in that little Mary. And that's what he died for, to give the church the power to come against the forces of darkness. So anyway, that's what I was doing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I mean, my king gave me the keys. He didn't give the devil the keys. He gave me the keys. He told me anything I bind on earth should be bound in heaven. And anything I loose on earth should be loose in heaven. That's unlimited power he's given me in the name of Jesus. So I go in and sat down and I'm drinking my hot tea and I said, "How can I help y'all?" She said, "Well, Thurman, we've had a complaint against you. You offended somebody." I said, "Oh, I did?" I said, "Then how did I do that?" They said they were sitting at a table and they said, "You said that if you didn't believe in Jesus Christ, you were going to die and go to hell. And it offended them because they were Muslim." I said, "Well, how about that?" I said, "Isn't that amazing?" I said, "You know, I did not say that. That is not an original with me." They said, "You said that." I said, "Oh, yeah. I was just repeating what Jesus said. Jesus said, 'I am the truth, I am the life, and I am the way.'" And I said, "You told me you're a Christian, and you told me you're a Christian. If you two are really Christians, then you got to know what I'm telling you is the truth." Amen. And Charles Ashcraft, my director, he said, "Thurman, you're absolutely impossible. You can go." So I got up and walked out. Who has the keys of the kingdom? I do. You do. You have the keys of the kingdom. The king gave them to you. So don't let that devil. I mean, Jesus came. Yeah, he came as a little baby 2,000 years ago. But he didn't stay a little baby. He grew up and became a man. And then he went to that cross and he bore that devilish beating. He bore that. I mean, every time I see one of those movies where they lay him on that thing after they beat him and they lay them big old nails in his arms or in his wrists and hit that thing the first time, it just makes me cringe. I mean, I think about, you know, I think about one time years ago when I was building something with a nail gun and I was down on that thing, my knee down on that tube, and I went here and I hit that and I hit a knot and that nail come right down that tube before and went right in right there and come out right there. Man, I mean, I fell over backwards and my dad looked at that and he said, "Oh, son, you've ruined yourself." I said, "No, I haven't." I reached up there and I grabbed that nail and I jerked that sucker out of me and throwed it down. I reached up and pulled my britches up, and there's a soft spot there by your knee. And between the head of my knee and that soft spot, that nail went right through that skin. It went in, penetrated, went through, would come out about that much further. But I said, "I will have absolutely no problem because Jesus is my healer." And I just throwed that, I just went, put my britches leg back down, wiped a little bit of blood off. And I said, "Now I command that blood to stop bleeding in the name of Jesus, and that thing going to be clean. There ain't going to be no problem or nothing." I went ahead and built that house and never had a problem and forgot that whole incident. The king has given us the keys of the kingdom. I mean, you know, you can confess with your mouth what you want. He has given you, because he's been here, he's given you the power. He said, "Anything you say with your mouth, if you believe with your heart, you can have it." And didn't he, Brittany? And that's how you, as long with your family, have taken the word of God and beat that devil over that little girl that over and over and over and over they said she wasn't going to make it. I mean, every day they threw something at us. And she can't make it. This ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. She's not going to do this. Not going to. And we just kept saying, "No, in the name of Jesus." We have power over the forces of darkness.
And we're coming against you, Satan, in faith. And little Brietta is going to grow up and she's going to be a beautiful, normally supernatural. Lord, we don't want that girl to be normal. Amen. We want her to be supernaturally intelligent, supernaturally strong, and do supernatural things for the kingdom of God. Because we're children of the Most High God. The King, think about what he said there. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. The keys. When you get a hold of the key to salvation, you get saved. When you get a hold of the keys of healing, you don't never get sick no more.
Amen.
When you get a hold of the keys that shows you that you don't have to sin no more, you stop sinning. You walk holy in the presence of God. When you get a hold of the keys of the power of your tongue, you only say what the word says so the King can watch over his word to perform it. So mighty powerful things can happen. So when you speak in his name, people get healed. People get saved. You know, we need to walk so holy before God. I can think about stories I read about Smith Wigglesworth. He could get on a train going somewhere and just open his Bible. And people all over the car. I remember one, it said a guy was sitting over there, and the guy was sitting there just got real fidgety, and all of a sudden he jumps up, and he comes running over there and fell on his knees and slid up to where Smith Wigglesworth was sitting on his knees. And he said, "Sir, I'm under conviction of sin in your presence. I need to get saved." And the man was led to Christ right there on his knees, right there in a rail car. Smith never said a thing. It was just the power of the Holy Ghost over that place because he had that power in him and he knew he had those keys of the kingdom. And he knew every devil in that place had to be subject to him. And when he walked in that place, just like I did when I walked into LSG Sky Shift 10, 12 years ago, now whatever it was, and I commanded that devil and all that foul words of profanity to not be spoken no more. I have power over that devil. And I'll never forget that day when I was in a meeting with about 25 other managers and supervisors and all kinds of stuff. And there was one of the girls on that side talking to a woman up at the front, one of the managers, and I happened to be sitting over here on this side, 25 of us in there. And all of a sudden, this little girl over there was talking to the woman up front, and she said something like this, and I'll even repeat the word because we use it in the right context. I use it all the time. But this woman says, "I wonder what in the hell," she started to say, "hell this woman's talking about. I wonder what in the hell," and that's all she got, just H-E, and it stopped. She slapped herself in the mouth and turned across her and looked right at me, of all people, and said, "Thurman, would you please forgive me? I won't say that no more." I mean, all you got to do is walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, and the devils of hell, they have to keep their mouth shut in your presence. When you get a hold of this, and you walk holy before God and do what the Lord says. I mean, I can see when she started to say that, there was an angel standing right there. And that angel reached up and picked her hand up and slapped her in the mouth. And the Holy Spirit convicted her just like that. And for her to turn to look at me, "Thurman, will you forgive me for saying that?" Why didn't she ask anybody else in that room to forgive her for saying that? Because there wasn't nobody else in that room holy, that's why. I was walking in obedience to the Word. If you seek God and His holiness, He will put that kind of power on you, and them devils of hell will be subject to you because of what our King did basically 2,000 years ago when He came here as a man. He defeated the forces of darkness and gave you and me all this awesome power. And we don't believe it. We don't read it. We don't get in it. We don't stay in it. We don't meditate on it day and night like we should. We get in the Word, and the Lord will do great and mighty things through us. Now then, let's go to Matthew 12:28. Matthew 12:28. Jesus says, and this is something else that had never been done in 4,000 years of history. Jesus was the first man ever to come on the scene that spoke to spirits or devils and they obeyed him.
Amen.
Nobody had ever done this before. But this King came and he went about casting out devils. And Jesus said in verse 28 of Matthew 12, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you." Well, we cast out these devils the same way. When we walk holy before God, you can speak to these devils And you can see people's lives changed. It says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. You better remember, you better be the strong man. Don't you let that devil be the strong man, because if he does, he'll spoil your house. You know how you let him be stronger than you? It's when you select to serve sin. When you yield to that beast in sin, he becomes the strong man over you. But when you don't yield to him, you're the strong man, and he cannot come in and spoil your house. This is your house. This is where you live. But you walk pure and clean and holy before God, and then your house will be strong, and that devil cannot come in and spoil your house. But you listen to that devil, and he'll draw you out, and he'll get you into sin. And as soon as you sin somewhere, and it might just be, who knows what kind of sin? Anything. Anything that's not of faith is sin. So it's real easy to sin. Real easy. Then he says, verse 30 says, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. You know, it's coming down to the time where being a Christian is not for wimps any longer. I mean, we're supposed to be men and women of integrity. We're not supposed to be men and women that lie and steal and cheat and commit adultery and sleep around and all these stupid things. That's not what the church is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be walking so holy and so pure. And everything we do, I mean, everywhere we go, every time we run into somebody, I don't care where we are. At the airports, I mean, just, Cheryl and I got on an airplane coming back from Odessa Friday morning. As soon as we walked up to the airplane to check in, everybody I'd talk to, I mean, I asked them, are you a Christian? But I got in the airplane, there's a little girl there, one of the hostesses, she seemed to be very vibrant and alive, and Cheryl turned the corner and went on down the aisle, because, I mean, it was a full airplane, there was a lot of people. But I took just a second. When I come around that corner, I stopped and leaned over there where she was, and I said, young lady, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She said, yes, I sure do. I said, wow, I got a live wire, don't I? I said, you really know the King, don't you? She said, yes, I do. I said, praise God. Now, I wonder how many people ask her that question in the course of the day of all the people she runs into. I bet you very few. Why? Because we don't put God first. We put ourselves and our own lives first. Well, we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and then all things will be added unto us. He said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You know, that's a very scary scripture. You know, you ever wonder why you hear people take God's name in vain, Jesus' name in vain? But you never hear somebody damn the Holy Spirit. You notice that? Isn't that amazing? There has been that recorded that I know of. Now, there may be more of these, but I know of 23 cases where men have damned the Holy Spirit. Three of those men walked into a movie theater one night where they was having a church service. I mean, you know, the pastor had rented the place. And, of course, these guys thought it was nobody in the ticket deal. So they thought, you know, they're half drunk anyway. You know, so they're out having a good time. They're men of the world, businessmen. You know, they're out drinking, hanging out in the bars and all this kind of stuff. And they come down here and they see this movie theater and people are going in, but there ain't nobody at the window. So they say, well, go in there and see what this movie's all about. It must be free. Well, it was a preaching service. And so they come in and they sit down a little while. And this preacher's up there telling them about Jesus. And then he's teaching about the Holy Ghost. Well, these men, one of them stood up and began to rail at him and say, this Holy Ghost you're talking about, he's not real. God's not real. And then he began to say, he's telling him, said, sir, you know, I mean, I understand where you are right now, but said, you know, if you would just sit down and let me teach, we'd be okay. And this guy continued. And then they all began to chip in. And he said, gentlemen, you all do not know what you're saying when you're saying all those foul words about the Holy Spirit. He said, you're blaspheming the Spirit, and you need to repent now. And they laughed and just, oh, they was using all kinds of cuss words. They was cussing the Holy Ghost. They were doing all kinds of things. And they finally just walked out laughing and having a good time. You think, well, God wouldn't hold those three men accountable for that. They was all half drunk. But the next morning, they woke up. One of them went out and got in his car. He as chipper as he could be, walked up, put his hand on the doorknob to open it, and his heart exploded in his chest, and he fell dead right there beside his car. At noon, one of the other men was in his office, and he was talking to one of his secretaries about something, and he's still using these foul words, and all of a sudden his heart exploded. He fell over dead on the face, dead on the chest, on the desk. Well, this third man got a hold of all this, and he was told by this time what happened. So by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he's sitting there smoking his cigarette with a fifth of booze sitting there, and his secretary comes in and says, what is wrong with you? He said, I committed the unpardonable sin last night. He said, I was with, that pastor told us what we did, and we needed not do. He said, my other two friends that were with me, both of them's already dead. And he said, I'm so afraid. And all of a sudden, his heart burst in his chest, and he exploded, and he was dead. All three of them died within 24 hours. You know, you don't play with God. Amen. He's the king of the universe. People said, God wouldn't do no such thing as that. Just go out there and put him to the test and find out. He is the king of the universe. And he is the most merciful and forgiving God. But if he wrote it in this book, you better pay attention to it. Amen. This book tells you what to do, and you're to honor and respect God. I'm going to tell you, those of you that are men that are in this room, there's very few men that, the difference between men and women is this, the major thing. Men want respect from men and from women. Women want love from men. That's what they want. They want love. No man that I ever met was really that concerned about everybody loving him. He wants to be respected for what he does. He wants to be honored for what he does. You want to make a man happy? You tell him when he does something good, you tell him how good he is. And that man will do anything for you. Unfortunately, we don't always do that, but that's what we should do. I know what we should do, but I don't always do that either. But I know what turns a man on, but I also know what turns a woman on, and it's love. And I'm talking about sex here. Let's get this thing about love and sex, two different worlds. You want to make a woman feel good? I mean, a woman walks in right here this morning. You walk over there and say, man, you really look nice today. You smell so good. You're really beautiful today. You know that? Do it in the presence of your wife. You know, so she'll know where you're coming from. Amen. Makes her feel good. Makes her feel good. You know. Love women with a love that makes them feel like a woman. And that's what they love. But men won't respect. That's why God told women to submit to their husbands and respect their husbands. He didn't tell you nowhere in the Word of God that I can find other than under the full commandment to love one another. When he's talking about husbands and wives, he tells the woman to submit to her husband and respect him. But he did tell the husband to love his wife. That's what he said. But this awesome power that God gave us here. Now then, let's go to verse 43 in Matthew 12. Jesus is casting out these devils. Nobody has ever done this until now. Not a single person ever in 4,000 years of history has ever been able to do what Jesus has done and the power he's given us to do. But in Matthew 12:43, it says, when Jesus is speaking, he says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now, how do you get that unclean spirit out? You drive him out. What opens the door to let him in? Any kind of sin. Any kind of unclean sin will open the door for that devil to come in you. And he will torment you. And, of course, you don't just get one. You usually get a multitude of them. And the longer you sin, the more these unclean demons you get. But Jesus says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. There's a lot of information there about that unclean spirit. He walks. He doesn't fly. He is earthbound. These demons are earthbound, and they're bound to this earth, and they walk to and fro on the earth looking for a vessel that has made themselves unclean from the power of God so they can enter you. Now, who can have a demon? Anybody can have a demon. I mean, I've heard many ask that question years ago to the pastor in the church. When I began to read about these demons, I wanted to know if I could have a demon. And so I went to my pastor and I said, is it possible for us as Christians to have a demon? He said, oh, absolutely not. And I thought, boy, that's a lot of comfort. Praise God. You know, but it was a lie, you know, but I didn't know that. So, I mean, you know, I kept reading and studying and I saw all the things demons did to people. And I thought, well, people in the church got the same problems. So I go to my doctor of theology from the seminary when he comes over. And I said, sir, I got a question I want to ask you. These demons that we don't ever talk about in the Baptist church, can I have one of them or can you have one as born again sons of God? Oh, absolutely not, Thurman. You know, there's no way a devil could live inside of a human being with the Holy Spirit in there too. There's no way. So you don't have to worry. You can't have a demon. Okay, now these demons here are making people sick and afflicting them, and Jesus is kicking them out, and there's deaf and mute spirits and all kinds of things, and I see people in the church afflicted the same way. So what's causing their problem? Good question. So I wasn't happy. So I go to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I got to have this answer from you. I got to know, can I have a demon or an unclean spirit? Is it possible? And I ask him and ask him and ask him. And he never would answer. Now, the reason I was waiting for an answer, because I had heard the voice of God many times. But on this case, he wouldn't talk to me right now. So I'm doing a word search on spirits of one night. And when I get over to Luke 13:11, the little woman that had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years and could nowise raise herself up, the Lord spoke to me right there. And he said, son, you got one of those living in your body. I said, Lord, a spirit of infirmity? I said, it says a spirit of infirmity. Infirmity means weakness or sickness. And Lord, I'm not sick and I'm not weak. So what is it? He said, it's your athlete's foot. I said, athlete's foot? Lord, athlete's foot's a demon? He said, yes, son. And in my name, you have authority over it. Now, I'd only had that 30 years. I had doctored it. Of course, the doctor told me it's a fungus, you know, and they give me some medicine. And it did help. You know, for a little while, and then I'd get healed up, and, you know, then I'd quit using it. And first thing you know, all of a sudden you feel this tingling and burning, and you look, and your toes are all cracked open again and bleeding. You say, whoops, there's that athlete's foot back again. I got to get my stuff out and doctor it. And so, you know, I did this for 30 years. I didn't have any idea who I was or what I could do in the name of Jesus, but when the king told me I had a demon, I turned as a Baptist. I turned around, I looked down to them toes, and I said, you devil of hell, you spirit of infirmity, you foul spirit of athlete's foot, you come out of me and go to the pit, and don't you ever enter me again in the name of Jesus. I was healed from athlete's foot that night, and I never had it again in 20 years. Never had to have no medicine of no kind, nothing, just the word of God. Jesus said, I have power to cast out demons, and that's another thing that he's doing here, demonstrating this, but he's telling us about these things. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Now, he's looking, he's going to all these different houses, knocking on the doors of people, and he's not finding somebody. Well, he's not walking today, I guarantee you, because this is not a house. You could go to any street in Dallas, and I guarantee that devil could knock on a door and come in, and in one of the two or three or four or five people living in that house, I guarantee there's at least one of them got a door open. I don't care if they're all in church. If every one of them's in church, some of them in the house, if not every one of them, have got doors open to the forces of darkness. Because we sin. We as Christians live in sin. You just listen to what we say. We say the wrong things. We do everything. I mean, we eat food. We go down and we eat and do all kinds of things. And we don't never say grace over our food. Did you know the Lord said if you don't say grace over your food, it's sin? If you just want to go, I blessed every water bottle up here because I know some people will take water from here and not drink it, not bless it. So when I came in, I always blessed everything here. And if you bless it again, praise God, it's got a double blessing on it. But if you don't, it's blessed when you get it here because I've already blessed it. But the Lord says we are to never take anything into our flesh, eat or drink, except we sanctify it with the Word of God in prayer with thanksgiving. That's what the King says. So if you don't do that, it's sin. So he says here, when he cast out this devil and he finds none, then he says, I will return unto my house. You notice he calls your body his house. I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. In other words, when he was cast out, he left, and now then that person has done absolutely nothing. He feels good. He's healed. He's in good shape, but he didn't go to the Word. He's not filling his mind and his heart with the Word of God. He's just saying, oh, man, it's so good to be healed. It's great. I feel so good. And this happens at crusades all over this country. And this is what one of the things that turned one of the, there's a great man of God that I know that is the head of a big Christian organization, and he loves God with all his heart. There's no two ways about it. But he went, after he heard about the power of the Spirit, and he went to these one of these Benny Hinn crusades, and he got a whole bunch of the men and women that had been sick. And after getting these people's names and addresses and everything from the crusade, they went and followed up and checked out these people. And guess what had happened to these people? Nearly all of them had gotten sick again or died. And so he said, this stuff don't work. Benny Hinn's a false prophet. He said he's not teaching the truth. And now then the guy has written a book. And of course he's went to nearly every faith teacher. Not all of them, but several of them. He's went to them, and he has tried his best to find out about these things and are these things real. And naturally, the devil always leads him to the ones that it didn't work with. Those people that the sickness came back worse, or they got sicker and they died. And so he says, all these faith people are crazy. This does not work. And he's written a book called The False Revival. And he names every faith teacher. Joyce Myers, Fred Price, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, I mean, you, Benny Hinn, you name it. If you're a faith teacher and you've walked in any kind of significant, supposedly power of God, this man has put your name in a book and says you're a false teacher of God. Why? Because these people, most of these people today are just going somewhere and teaching people a little bit about the Word, praying for them, and God is His anointing is moving and healing them, but very few people teach you that it's the sin you're living in that opens the door for that devil to come back. Amen. It was the sin you were living in that opened the door in the first place for that devil to come inside of you. Amen. The Word of God is clear. It says, my true children, do not practice sinning. Now, I'll agree with that because it's written in 1 John 5:18. He said, they keep themselves from evil, and when they keep themselves from evil, the evil one cannot touch you. Now, is that true? Yes, sir. If it's true, it's in God's Word. So then, when you flip it over, then this is what it says. If you do sin, You open the door to the devil and he can come into you. That's what it's saying. Sure, God's people are not supposed to practice sinning. How many people do you know that are born again Christians that have never sinned after they become a born again Christian? I'm going to tell you, there ain't one. There's not one single human being alive on this earth that once you got saved, you're supposed to never sin again. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't nobody met that goal yet. Now, I hope you're getting close. Now, we should never be a type of person as a Christian say, well, I go home and repent of all my sins every night. No, you should not have all those sins every night. When you go home, you should be clean and pure every night. Now, once in a great while, that devil may get through to you. And when he does, because he is biting at you, I mean, I think about how that devil is like a bad dog, and he's nibbling at your heels. I mean, he's running, you're walking across here, and you hear the, rah, 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 and you turn to look, and you kick that little beast, and he runs off a little ways, and as long as you're watching him, he's out there. You turn and walk a little, he comes running at you again. That's the way the devil is. Is that the way they are, Ty? I mean, you're a veterinarian, you know how they, you got to watch them little critters all the time. Well, just to give you an example of how these little critters will do you, I walked into a Christian home the other day, and they had their pets in a cage. In a cage. And when I walked in that door and walked in, they started barking. But I looked over and they're in a cage, so no big deal. But somehow, one of the dogs knocked the door open, and before I could get away, ran. And now I got boots on. That little dog wasn't this tall. And I got boots on that are this tall. And that little beast runs up to me and gets me right above my boot and bites me 3 times right in the leg. You think there wasn't a demon in that dog? I'm going to tell you, there's a demon in that dog. It's a good thing it was a Christian home or I'd have killed the dog. But because it was a Christian's home, I didn't kill the little critter. I let him live. Because, see, I know that's a demon. I know that's a demon. I mean, my daughter had a cat one time when she was a little bitty girl. Her and Mama went to town, got her a kitten, and, of course, brought it out there. And that little gray and white kitten grew up, and it was a girl. And one day she got pregnant, and she had 4 babies. Well, we gave away 2 of them. She wanted to keep 2, so I let her keep 2 of them. And she kept a boy and a girl. Well, the little boy, oh, he was so gentle, and he'd run, jump up in your arm. But the little girl, Amanda named her Tyleen. And that little cat, I mean, from the time that cat was a little tiny kitten, when she was, you could reach over and pet the little brindle one, and he'd just run. But you could just reach over and touch that little girl. You know, I mean, your hair would stand up on her and everything. I thought, whoa, what a difference between these 2 cats. But see, I didn't realize one of them had a demon and one of them didn't. So I'm learning about demons now. I mean, that's way years ago. See, that's about 26 years ago. I'm learning about these demons. I'm learning, reading all these things. I'm asking all these questions. And so I'm finally getting to where I'm believing God that we can have demons and that demons are our problem on this earth. That's what the problem is. And so one day, that cat, Amanda could not hold her. When she grew up, you couldn't pet her. I mean, you couldn't get close to her. I mean, you just, anything. So one day, Amanda was at school. I walked around the corner, and we, of course, lived out in the country, and I had a great big old tall 3-step cabinet type deal there that the cats could jump up on, you know, to get up to the feeder, and I put it on the top, you know, to keep the skunks and stuff out of it. Because out in the country, you got all kinds of animals. Well, I come around the corner there one day and looked up there, and there sat Tylene up there eating in that feeder. And all I did was walk into the carport, and as soon as she seen me, she turned, you know, throwed that tail up, and all hair just stood straight out. I just looked over at her, and I said, "You devil of hell." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I have been given power and authority over you." I said, "You demon of hell, come out of that cat in the name of Jesus." I said, "Now go to pit and don't you ever come back." I said, "I'm a son of God and the keys of the kingdom have been given to me and all powers have been given to me over you. And you have to be subject to me, you beast, because it's written in Luke 10:19 and 20. I said, I'm fed up with this nonsense of church. I believe the Word of God means what it says. And if the Word of God says I have been given the keys, and the Word of God says all power has been given to me over the devil, I said, then you devil, are you coming out of that cat in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
And all of a sudden that cat just whooshed, became just as normal. Her hair all folded back down. And I walked right up there. And I said, Tylene girl. And she stepped right off into my hands and walked right up here. And I began to rub her and her little motor began to run. I said, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I pet her and petted her a little while. And she crawled all over my arm and everything. No attempt to scratch me at nothing like she used to. So after I played with her a little while and petted her a little while, I set her down on the ground. And I walked off. And I was doing some stuff. And a little while, man, to come home from school. She come home from school and she met both cats met her today. And she, you know, petting them and she, ooh, a little while she come, Daddy, what happened to Tylene? I said, oh, honey, she had a change of heart today. She said, what did you do to her? I said, that's okay. She's totally okay. She said, Daddy, she's never let me pet her. Look at her. She's so, I said, look at her, Daddy. I said, I know she's minus a demon. I didn't tell Amanda that. Because I didn't think my little 7 or 8 year old girl would understand that. See, little did I know at that point, my little 7 year old girl, 8 year old girl, had a demon of fear too, see. I didn't know that. But Amanda carried a demon of fear. In fact, when she was a little 3 year old girl, I was picking up some steel and a great big snake come running out from under that steel and run right straight toward her. And when it ran to her, she screamed bloody murder. Of course, I killed the snake. It never got to her. But it so scared her, it opened her spirit. And there's that good old buddy of ours, the devil. And when we open our spirits, that devil come running right in, a little 3 year old girl. A demon of hell. A spirit of fear. And from that day, my daughter, she wouldn't go outside by herself. She wouldn't spend a night away from home. She wouldn't go out and feed her cats at night, even with the lights on, unless I went out with her. She would not spend one single night with grandmother and grandfather unless we were there. She was petrified. And I thought, what's wrong with her? Something unique is wrong with her. And I didn't know till she was 15. At 15, one night, I was down at about 12 o'clock at night, maybe 1 o'clock, whatever it was, and I'd already gone to bed. I was laying in the bed, and all of a sudden Betty come down. She said, honey, there is something wrong with Amanda. So she's laying up there in the middle of bed, crying her eyes out, and I can't get her to sleep. Something is bad wrong with her. I got up, put my robe on, I walked up there, and I said, honey, I said, something wrong with you? She said, Daddy, I feel like if I died tonight, I'd go to hell to be with the devil. I said, look, when you were 6 years old, you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You confessed him with your mouth. I said, did you really believe that with your heart? Yes, Daddy, but I have this spirit of fear. And when she said that, she said, I have this fear. She didn't say I have a spirit of fear. She said, but I have this fear. The Holy Spirit spoke to me just as clear. And she has a spirit of fear. Cast him out in the name of Jesus. I go over there and sit down on the bed and reach up and grab her by the shoulders. And I shook her one time. I said, you devil of hell, you foul spirit of hell, come out of my daughter and go to the pit of hell. I said, now you're gone because it's written in the Word. I said, now, Father, fill her with the Holy Ghost. I said, put the spirit of love, joy, and peace in her in the name of Jesus. And immediately, my little girl goes 15 years old now. She goes from crying her eyes out to laughing hilariously, praising God. And we sat there for 10 or 15 minutes praising God. And in a few minutes, she lays back on that pillow and she said, Daddy, I can sleep good now.
Amen.
And that's got to be 1 o'clock in the morning. Next morning, 6 o'clock, I'm up down there getting ready to go to work. Amanda comes bouncing through the kitchen, getting ready to go to school. And I said, remember, you're a daughter of the King. She said, Daddy, I'm not afraid of nothing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Everything in her world changed. What happened? I have been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and I can cast out devils. And when I speak in the name of Jesus, these devils have to obey because of what the King did 2,000 years ago when he came through that little woman, and he was born through a woman. And he was the first man that lived on the earth in 4,000 years that had no sin. And he cast these devils of hell out of people back in those days. And he walked holy before God. And he said, now then, I'm going to give this power to every one of you that will believe it. That's what I say. Thank you, Jesus. Because of what he did, you and I have the power to cast out devils and to heal the sick and to cleanse the lepers and to raise the dead. If we can get our faith level up there, there's no limit to what we can do. He's given it all to us. And the reason we don't see it happen is because we don't get in the Word and spend enough time with God. He says that when we cast out these devils, he says there that, look what he says there. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Well, make sure your house is not empty, swept, and clean. Make sure it's full of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, if it's not, then that devil goes in and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Now, if you thought you had a problem with that one spirit living in you, if you don't fill your house with the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, when that devil comes back, now he's just like all them other hound dogs that are out there running across the country. If there's another hound dog anywhere, that beast will find them and they'll gather together in a pack.
Amen.
And so when that hound dog comes home, he don't bring one with him. He brings all he can find. So it may be two or three, or it may be a whole bunch. But Jesus said he'll bring at least seven more wicked than himself. And then look what happens. And they'll enter into and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You notice he said it would be unto the wicked generation. Not to those that love God, not to those that are walking in obedience to his word, but to those that are not obeying him. Now, you can be a Christian and not obey God and get a demon, let me tell you. You can have them. You walk holy before God, these devils cannot touch you. The scripture says so. Just like that Psalm 91 we sing a while ago up there. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. Let me tell you, you don't dwell in the secret place of the Most High God when you come to church one time on Sunday and don't open the Word of God from Monday through Saturday. You ain't dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. You didn't even dwell with him on Sunday. You might have come and listened to a preacher preach 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, and you might have went to a Bible study or whatever, but that's not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Dwelling there is meditating on the Word day and night. Reading it, studying it. When you wake up, that's the first thing should be on your heart is, Lord, I praise you and thank you for this day. The last thing you should say before you go to sleep at night is, Lord, I love you. And I ask you to give me your saint blessed sleep. And I ask you to send your angels to watch over me while I sleep and protect me from all evil.
Amen.
It's amazing. These devils. So what happened to this man that turned his back on God, this great man of God that's written this book, is because of the men that he checked out. Most of those men have not been teachers or proclaimers of holiness in the church. Some of them have been. But most of them, like being a hen, he don't have time to teach people holiness. He's a great holy man. I believe he's a humble man. He does a great work for the kingdom of God. I love the guy. You know, I love him. I think God's using him mightily. But, I mean, he can't get up there before 25,000 people and get people healed and then leave and teach them anything. I mean, used to, he done a little teaching. But now then, very rarely at a crusade does he do any teaching. He just lets the Holy Ghost do his thing. And it's wonderful. He does lots of wonderful things. But those people, those devils leave. If they don't know what opened the door to let them in, they ain't going to know how to close the doors. So them same devils are going to come back, and they're going to have more of them next week. And, of course, when that second state comes back, it says it's worse. And so that's why they die. If you want people to get healed, we got a lot of people in this ministry that we've taught these things to. And these people, when they repented of their sins and they got healed, there's many of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, still healed. Still completely healed. What made the difference? They didn't go back and sin anymore.
Amen.
I mean, I look at Sharon back there. You know, I ask her every once in a while, just kidding her, you know, her and
that we're talking here together, and every once in a while Sharon would come in. Of course, she had all kinds of things. She was a basket case when I met her. I mean, you're for a beautiful little 50-year-old girl or whatever. I mean, she had brain tumors. She had allergies. You know, she had back pains. She'd had the arm wouldn't stay in, a leg wouldn't stay in. I mean, you know, for a young woman like her, she was a basket case. But, you know, she got her sins repented. Yeah, she's holding her hand. She said, this is me. I'm sorry I have to talk about you like this, Sharon. But you're a good example. You're almost as good a teaching example as my own wife, you know. But we have sins in our lives, and when we repent of those sins and we pray over you, you got healed. And today there's nothing wrong with you, is there? No. See, praise God. And so every once in a while she'll come in here. I'll be kidding her. I said, you backslid this week? Boy, she rises up on the defensive. She said, how dare you? Absolutely not. I'm not backslid. She said, I've been in the Word every day. I'm on fire for Jesus. Amen. And that's true, isn't it, Sharon? And it has kept you free, hasn't it? I mean, no sickness, no disease. I mean, but you know, for a girl who had brain tumors, had an arm wouldn't stay in, a leg wouldn't stay in, and allergies and back, that was her worst thing. 30 years she'd had that back pain. And when we rebuked that, of course, she told me. She said, you know, 100 people prayed for me and nothing happened. Well, she'd not done it God's way. But when she did it God's way, she got healed that day. 2 years ago. And of course, after that, she saw the power of God in her back, and she began to walk holy in every aspect of her life, began to fill herself with the Word, and continued to be in church every service. Boy, I mean, she's every Bible study, everything. She's here. And she even goes other places and studies the Word. And so this girl's been able to walk in divine health now for 2 years because she's filled her house with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to walk in divine health, that's what you got to do. I mean, you know, you can get out of the Word. You keep doing what you're doing for 10 more years and then think, well, I guess I can relax a little while. And I don't have to say, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to come back to you. Yeah. You know, and he'll make you sick and afflict you again. You have to stay in the Word of God to walk in divine health. Amen. Now then, if you're not there, that devil, he is a wicked beast. I'm telling you, that beast is wicked. Now then, let's go to Mark 9:23. Mark 9:23. I want to show you a little example here of these things, what Jesus, when he came to this earth, Mark 9:23. Here is a man just like us today. Jesus said unto him, now first, I guess before I go to Mark 9:23, let me go to, I just can't start right there on this one. In verse 14, it said, when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and his the scribes questioned with him, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him, and he asked his disciples, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which had a dumb spirit. Now see, this man even knew, 2,000 years ago, he knew what was wrong with his child. You know, he didn't come over and say he can't talk, he said he has a dumb spirit. He knew, he's smarter than we are today. And whenever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spoke to your disciples that to cast him out, and they could not. How many people do you know today that Christians that are in church, that if something like this happens to your child, it comes to the pastor and say, cast this devil out of my son. You know anybody that does that? No, they don't come to the church. They go to the doctor. What can the doctor do? Nothing. When you get your sins repented of, you can get healed. Can't you, Esther? Praise God. There's another one right there. Esther, how many years did you have that tumor? 15 years. Esther had a tumor for 15 years, and they had prayed about it and everything, but nothing ever happened. But after they brought their daughter or granddaughter out here, and she had what? Had a tumor in her breast, wasn't it? And we prayed for her, and she got healed. So a few weeks later, Esther said, "Woo! If God did that for my grandbaby, he'll do it for me." So you come out here and we prayed for her, and in a week she's healed. She only had a tumor 15 years. Hey, I love it seeing God do these. Woo, and you love it too, don't you, Esther? Woo, glory to God. Do we love knowing that we have the keys of the kingdom? I mean, you got to know this. You can't say, well, I'm not sure. I know he said that, but you reckon that'll work for me? No, it won't work for you. No, God's a faith God. You got to know. If God said it, I believe it. Amen. And that settles it. Now, if he said it, no matter whether I believe it or not, that settles it. But I do, don't you, Ernest? I believe the Word of God. And when I believe it, I speak, and I speak in faith. Nothing wavering. And when I speak in faith, nothing wavering, what do them demons do? They got to go. The Lord says they do. But now look here. These guys, Jesus said, we brought my son to your disciples, and I asked him to cast out this spirit, and they could not. Well, Jesus was really nice to his boys here. He answered them and said, oh, you faithless bunch. Oh, you faithless bunch. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? He was really nice to his boys, wasn't he? Wonder what he'd say to me. Oh, how you of little faith. Oh, me. I give you all this power, and I told you to go out and do it, and you ain't using a handful. You ain't using a thimbleful of what I've given you. All you need to do is spend a little more time with me. My wife says, amen. That's what I've been trying to tell him to do for a year and a half. That's what, I'm serious. You know, Cheryl's always on my case. Honey, spend more time with God. Go read the Word. She's always on my case. Why? Because she loves me and she wants me to walk in a greater anointing with God. She's seen a little, but she wants to see more. But I do too. But she knows there's a cost, and I know there's a cost. And it costs, it's costly to wear that place. It ain't cheap. And that's the problem. Most of us are not willing to pay that price. I think about the price I paid to get where I am. And it was very costly. But boy, it's very rewarding. Oh, it's very rewarding. It's available. But he says here, he says, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway, Jesus said, bring that boy to me. And it says, and when that demon saw him, that spirit tore him. And he fell on the ground and he wallowed foaming. We don't get to see that very often in church, do we? No. Them devils of hell, they ain't afraid of us. They know we ain't got no power. They know we don't know who we are. But we're learning, aren't we? Sherry, we're learning. We're going to be daughters and sons of God that know who we are, right, girl? And we're going to cast these devils out. We're going to get so strong in the Lord. When a devil comes in with somebody, whenever they come to that front door, and he said, "Woo, I better leave these till I get back outside. I ain't staying in here." Amen. With all these men and women of faith, I'm in trouble. So they're going to leave until you go back outside. That's where we want to get. And he asked his father, he said, how long is it since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. So how long had he had that demon? All of his life. Devil come into him. And oftentimes it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look at Jesus' answer. If you can believe, what's available to you? If you can believe what? All things are possible to him that believeth. That's why I say, if you believe you can do these kind of things, it'll work for you. If you don't believe you can do these things, they will not work for you. If there is a shred of doubt that the Word of God will not work for you, you need to ask God to burn that doubt out of your being. Because if you got doubt, that devil laughs at you. Just like he did these boys. I mean, they commanded that devil to come out, didn't they, Eldon? He didn't come out, did he? No, he didn't come out. He laughed at them. He said, you boys, you may be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, but you ain't got enough to get me out. I ain't coming out. And he rebuked and he rebelled. Guarantee. Them devils will do that to you. You know, every time I think about these demon stories, I think about Ty. And the first time he asked God, he said, Lord, don't you put me in this ministry. I want to see what a demon looks like. Oh, now then you better be ready. Because so a man and a woman comes in his office one day with brings a little animal or dog or whatever, and he's looking at it. And all of a sudden, he's talking to the woman, turns, looks over, looked at the man, and the guy is a great big green lizard sitting there in the chair. Ain't that right, Ty? Yeah, he got to see a great big green lizard. It was a man a few minutes ago. But now it's a great big green lizard. And now that he's looking. Look, that's a woman. That's a lizard. What's wrong? And I get really tickled at this real man of faith. He stands up and says, nurse. I mean, I would have probably done worse, but at that point, he didn't have a clue who he was. Nurse, I need a woman in here to help me. That's us guys. We always call for these women to help us when we're in trouble. We can laugh about that now, can't we, Ty? But see, he asked God to show him a demon, and man, he did. He did. He showed him that demon. And that thing was a great big wicked green lizard. And he was a wicked looking critter, wasn't he? Woo! But praise God, now he knows who he is when the devil shows up at his house, and he ain't afraid of them beasts no more. Because he now knows he has power. Yeah, when that devil shows up at Ty's house anymore, he don't have to call his lovely wife. Don't have to say, Cheryl. He might say, Cheryl, come over here, me and you together. We're going to kick this devil out of this guy. And when he calls her and they both come together, that devil says, I might as well leave now. Because there ain't no hope for me here. Because they've learned who they are, praise God. Well, let me tell you, the first time I saw one too. I mean, I saw one and I didn't see it like he did. If I'd have seen it like he did, I might have passed out. You know, but the first time I saw one, he just manifested in a man's face and his eyes got green and glassy and his face all clenched and drew up. And I looked over and I said, what's wrong with him? Woo, what is this? See, the Lord knew he could handle a whole demon to see it. He knew I couldn't handle it. I can only imagine, at least he called it for a nurse. I'd have probably just passed out and fell over the chair. So he didn't let me see one. He just let me see him in his face. And I'm telling you, it scared me. But today, when one of them manifests, I have no problem. I don't care when that beast manifests. We've had a manifest right here in this room many times. But I am not intimidated by a demon no more because I realize I've been given the keys of the kingdom. The devil don't have them. Because of Jesus coming as that little babe 2,000 years ago and what he did on that cross, when he stripped the devil of all of his power and armament, he turned and handed you and me the keys to the kingdom and said, this is it. Everything is yours now. Anything you bind on earth should be bound in heaven, and anything you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. And he did that all. Boy, if we could get that kind of a story out at Christmas, if we could have songs like that, we could have things that be giving God the glory. If we could be doing something to tell people, hey, I'm going to do something good for somebody this year because my king, he came 2,000 years ago and he grew up to be a man and he defeated the devil and now he's a glorified Christ and he lives in me. Praise God, he lives in me. Now then, he's given me the keys to the kingdom, and whatever I do in faith, he'll do it for me. Whatever I speak in his name in faith, if I'll walk holy before him, he'll do it for me. Amen. Wow. And then I think about the other day. I mean, I think how when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and somebody, I didn't matter if it was them two boys up there in Bill Gothard's office last year that I prayed over and God instantly healed both those boys back, or if it was Dr. Gary Young the other day with a broken back after falling out of a tree, and you speak the word of God and God instantly heals all those people just like that. Isn't that awesome? And then Eldon got to go, I don't know, Nancy, did you get to go too down there to Ecuador? So Eldon and Nancy went with Dr. Gary Young that a few weeks before was laying up there in bed with a broken back. And we spoke the word of God in faith over a telephone, and Jesus instantly healed that man's back. And a few days or a few weeks later, they got to go with him to Ecuador to set up a curriculum in a college down there. And here this man that was laying there on a bed with a broken back, it was just as easy for him to heal his back as it was yours, wasn't it, Sharon? No problem. He hit it just exactly like he did yours. Healed Sharon's back instantly. But Dr. Gary Young's was crushed after falling out of a tree 35 feet up. And one prayer of faith based around Mark 11:23, and the man's well. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, what kind of power do we have? It's unlimited, isn't it, Ernest? Oh, if we can believe. So we got to ask God, God, in the name of Jesus, burn this nonsense of unbelief out of our spirits. Help us to believe everything we read in this book. Help us to walk holy in your presence so that when we speak in your name, these great things will happen. You know, I think about, I was watching, I think it was TBN, one of the Christian television stations in the last couple of weeks,
And there was men on there talking about ways we need to do things to prove that God is real. I thought, hey, all you got to do is walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, and everybody knows God is real.
Amen.
You know, walk up to somebody and lay hands on somebody with some crushed knees, and a guy gets up and walks off. You don't know God's real, boy, your wood's wet. You know that? You know, you pray a prayer of faith over a telephone, and a guy 1,000 miles away laying there on the bed with a broken back, and in 1 minute later, he's totally healed. If you don't believe God's real, I'm telling you, you got a problem.
Amen.
Why is it that so few of these things are happening? Because we don't have the faith. We don't believe him, do we, Ernest? I mean, I think about Ernest, and he don't mind me telling that story. He prayed for his granddaughter.
Yes, sir.
He prayed for her, and his wife prayed for her. But nothing happened. But they brought her out here, and I prayed for her, and it happened. And then he prayed for her, and nothing happened. And they brought her out here, and I prayed for her, and God healed her. So there's something to walking in obedience to the Lord. And you know what Ernest said? He said, I don't know where you are, but I ain't there. But I'm going to get there. He said, I'm working on it. Guarantee. You reading the Word, hiding it in your heart, you want to get there, don't you, Ernest? You know there's a cost. And it took me 30 years to get there. But let me tell you, the cost is well worth it. You know, when I prayed for Ernest's lovely wife, Esther, and she was healed in a week of a tumor 15 years, me and you both are grateful to the King. All of us. Praise God. Now then, all I got to say is this is the power that's been given to you and me as children of God.
Amen.
If we believe it, I have given you the keys of the kingdom. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Just think, it all happened because of Jesus' birth.
Yes, sir.
And then he came and lived, and then he died and arose again. And how many people believe these things today that are in the church? Hardly none. It's a shame that hardly no one. I mean, I think about the doctors of theology that have cornered me and sat down and talked to me and tell me I'm teaching a lie. That these things don't mean what they say. And God don't do miracles no more. Why does he not do miracles? They say, well, I ain't never seen one. So if I ain't never seen one, he don't do it. I mean, I'm in the seminary, I teach the Word, and I walk in obedience to it, and I never see God do none of those kind of things. That PhD that I sat down and talked to after they threatened to throw me out of Cook's Medical Center 4 years ago, and said if I prayed for another child, they'd lock me up in jail. And I went to this doctor of theology, and we were talking. He teaches in the Baptist Seminary over in Fort Worth. And he said, well, Thurman, I said, I've been over to Cook's many times and prayed for many children over there, and they've never given me any trouble. I said, did you ever get one of them healed? He said, well, if I did, I don't know it. I said, see, you're no threat to the devil. You don't believe the Word of God. But I said, when you start believing God's Word and you start walking there casting out devils, and in 30 days, 9 of them little kids on their deathbed get up and walk off. I said, the devil don't like you stealing one of his children. I said, you want to get them to... I said, they threatened to throw me out of the place and lock me up. And it was the chaplains. The chaplains. They said, the head chaplain, which his name was Steve at the time, I don't know if he's still over there or not, but I'll call her name, you know, because this really happened. You know, this really happened in Cook's Medical Center. You know, Steve, the head chaplain, called me to his office and said, if you pray for another child in this hospital, we're going to bar you from Caitlin's room and we're going to lock you up in jail. All I'm doing, praying for babies, getting them healed. Seemed to me like I read a story somewhere where Jesus prayed for people and got them healed and they killed him. You know, Jesus never done one bad thing for nobody. Not one bad thing, but they killed him, didn't they? So what do you think? He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too if you do what I did.
Amen.
So is it worth the price?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, I can't think of anything better. I'd rather, just like Stephen, I think about Stephen, that boy full of the Holy Ghost and fire and power, and he's out healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the cerebral palsy and everything else. And he starts telling this bunch of Jewish people what they've done wrong, and they don't like it. They don't want to hear that. They start stoning him. And when they start stoning him, he said, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. And you know what Jesus' position is? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But in that scene right there, Stephen looked up and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I bet you there's not very many people go to heaven that the king stands in your honor when you come in. You want to know that? I bet there's not many of them. But I sure would like for that to be happen to me. It may never happen, but I sure would like to have done enough for him while I'm here that when they kill me on this earth, the king would say, "Welcome home, son." Oh, can you think of anything you'd rather have than the king to meet you head on and put his arm around you and say, "Well done, son. You've done a good job for me down there on earth." Wow! That's what I want to hear, don't you? Amen. I don't want to hear nothing else. Well, he's given us the keys of the kingdom. So this Christmas, don't go around saying he's the baby in the manger. Tell people he's the glorified Christ and he lives in me. And I've been given the keys of the kingdom. You talk about a Christmas present? There ain't never been a better Christmas present than what the king gave to you and me, brother. He gave you and me the keys of the kingdom. And all power. All power. Amen. Most of us have. Most of us have. Guaranteed. But it ain't never too late.
But I'd like to tell you one thing. What you're saying is true.
Amen.
Amen.
I got away from that.
Amen. Amen. He'll forgive you.
I got away from that.
He'll forgive you. And he'll restore you.
People don't believe that.
Amen.
God has got the power to deal with us on this earth.
Amen.
Amen. Show us his power.
Amen.
People don't believe
it. Amen. I know it. But I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe he's going to do this. And then I want you to look at this one last magnificent verse after Mark 9, whenever Jesus prayed for that boy, kicked that devil out, that boy got healed. Nobody else could do it, but Jesus did. But then we go to this last scripture, we're going to quit for the day. I want you to see this magnificent promise. This is one of my favorite verses. And I'll read it, but I've got it. But Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 19 and 20. Oh, one of my favorite verses. Listen to what Jesus says here. Luke 10, verse 18 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven."
Hallelujah.
I can imagine that day when the devil said, "I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High God." Jesus reached up and picked him up by the nap of the neck and said, "No, you're not. You're out of here, you beast, you, and I'm casting you down to the earth." And then after he cast him to the earth, look what he said. "Behold," since he knows we're on earth, he said, "Behold, I, Jesus, given to you power or authority to tread or to trample on the devil and his demons and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that those evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven."
Amen.
If the King of the universe gave you and me that kind of power and told me that that devil cannot touch me, I have no fear on this earth, do we, Eldon? We can take the word of God and we can go cast out them devils and heal the sick and get it done regularly. I will have to say that, you know, I didn't know Eldon for a long time. Cheryl had met him and his lovely wife, Nancy, and she had a tremendous physical problem. And when she run into him, that was the first man of God she had ever run into in her life. Because that night, with all the physical problems she had had, and she now knows all those things came upon her because of all of her sins and the lifestyle she had lived, she knew now and understands, but at that time she didn't have a clue why she had all these problems. But now she knows. But she finally found a man of God. And after she repented of her sins, and Eldon and Nancy anointed her with oil and prayed the prayer of faith over, Cheryl was instantly healed that night at their house.
Amen.
Why is it there's so few men on this earth that have that power? Because some of them have paid the price.
Amen.
Some of them have paid the price. There's several of you men in here that have that kind of power. But it should be every one of us.
Amen.
We walk holy before God. He's given you that power, hasn't
yes,
he?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
So every man in here, the place to start, you be a man of God to your wife and your family. And anytime there's a need, when a devil shows up with a pain or a symptom in your home, you be the man of God to cast those devils out of your home. Realizing, don't ever pray for healing until you first cast out the devil.
Amen.
Never. I mean, you don't have no idea how many people I've seen healed in my life that was suffering with all kinds of pain and sickness and disease, and when we cast the devil out, they got well. You didn't have to pray for healing. Just kick the devil out.
Amen.
Pains and suffering. And you kick the devil out, and they get healed. Now then, because of this magnificent thing that we're celebrating, and we really don't even know if this is Jesus' birthday or not. It don't make no difference when it was. We just know he came. We know he was born. And because he was born, he has given us the keys of the kingdom. And I mean, the promises that are in this book that's available to you and me is unlimited. When you really start reading the Word of God, it's awesome, isn't it, girl? Here's a little lady right here that's hid these words in her heart. I mean, for a little young lady, I mean, this young girl has spent time studying God's Word and writing it down, and she's got it hidden in her heart. And because of her dad and mother and all of them in the family, they fought this battle for this little tiny baby sister and daughter of theirs. And every time the doctor would say, she can't live, this is going to be wrong, that's going to be wrong, they said, no, we thank you for giving us that information, but we ain't receiving that. We're believing God because he's given us the power, and they stand. And we've all been over to that hospital and prayed over that baby. We've been over there two or three times ourselves with them. And we've all prayed over that child. And that child, praise God, this week is coming home drinking, swallowing, and everything. And has gone from 1 pound, 15 ounces to 5 pounds and something, he said.
Hallelujah.
And that's normal-sized baby now.
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. But I'll tell you, it took some serious prayer to do it. And there's a couple of times, Miss Lori, the mother, almost let the devil get her down to where she's ready to throw in the towel. Almost. But let me tell you, that's what the devil wants to do.
Amen.
He wants to get you to the point where you throw in the towel. Well, let me tell you, every time you think about throwing in the towel, reach out there and get that sucker and bring it back up and say, now I'm rekindled now, devil. I'm going to start over again. I'm going to kick you out. I want you to know I'm a daughter or son of the King of the universe, and I've been given the keys, and you ain't got nothing. And so I'm going to do these great things, and I'm going to pray in faith, and I'm going to guarantee you my King is going to do what he promised to do. And I'm not getting into doubt. Praise the King. Thank you, Jesus. Because of what Jesus did.